the words of our text, which happen to be the verse, the parable in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Hear the words of the parable of our Lord Jesus. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, "Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" But he answered and said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that you can cut it down." So far are the words of our Lord Jesus. Following the proclamation of the word of the Lord, let's sing together 462 as a song of response. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's easy to say that the news is biased. There's always a slant to the news that you hear. The online news that I read, the headlines are so often one-sided. And no matter how objective or neutral a news story might try to be, every time I'm thinking, why didn't they report on this or that? Why did they choose that subject? So I find the news normally biased. But here we come to Luke 12 and Luke chapter 13 to another problem with the news. This time it's not the media. The problem is the ones who hear the news. It's the ones who read the news, who watch the news. We are misunderstanding the message. How is it that you do not discern this time, Jesus had said to the crowds? That was in chapter 12. How is it that you do not discern this time that we live in? You're missing the obvious, the Lord Jesus was saying. It's right there between the headlines. If you look for it, you will find it's teaching about God's patience. That's the point of our Lord Jesus. He wants us to see God's patience. In the parable of this barren fig tree, our Lord Jesus shows us God's patience is for bearing fruit. He has a purpose with his patience. That's the theme I'd like to give for the morning sermon. Our Lord Jesus shows us God's patience is for bearing fruit. Then we'll look at 4 points. First is patience runs in the news. Secondly, his patience runs in the parable. Thirdly, his patience ran out in 70 AD. And in the fourth place, we will see that his patience may run out in 2014, in this year. Now, if we had read together as a congregation all of chapter 12 and then come to chapter 13, we would have noticed that Jesus had been preaching about being ready, being watchful. That has been the theme for the last chapter. And so where we picked up at the end of chapter 12, our Lord Jesus was saying, "You can discern the face of the sky. You notice the clouds, you notice the weather patterns, right? But how is it that you do not discern this time, the time that we live in?" At the very end of chapter 12, the Lord Jesus was saying it in another way. It's somewhat like a parable. He's saying there's not much time left. It's as though you are on your way to prison. And if you know that you're going to be locked up in a few days or a few hours or a few minutes, you get things done as quickly as possible. You get your life in order. You call up your lawyer. You do whatever you can. Your time is short. The point is, we need to interpret the times we live in. You make drastic measures, you take drastic steps if you know that your time is short. We need to make sense of the news. There's a message there in the current events that's on the news. Just like the skies tell you about the coming weather. So how do you make sense of the news? Jesus was saying to the crowds. And then there are two examples that come up right at the beginning of chapter 13. Two examples there. The Galileans, who were killed and used shamefully to defile the temple sacrifices. Their blood was mixed in. And the Lord mentions 18 others who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Two current events. How do you make sense of those things? The Lord Jesus asked. Do you think that they were worse sinners? That their lives were cut short? Is that it? Do you think they were guiltier that they died so shamefully? Because you could read the news that way. You could interpret the news that way, but you'd be wrong. You can't tell from the news how bad a country is or how bad a city is, or you can't tell from a disaster how wicked a person is. Judgment and calamity and disaster and grief and devastation, they don't tell you anything except that the time is short. Bad news does not tell you that those people had it coming. It doesn't tell you that God ran out of patience with them. It only tells us that our time is short. This is the point of our Lord Jesus. Use the news properly, the way it's meant. Use the news. Use the latest earthquake in Greece or wherever it was. Use the latest wars and rumors of war in the Ukraine. Use the last car that you've seen overturned in the ditch. Use it to remember God's patience. Because we live on borrowed time. The news shows us that our time on earth may be short. And disasters remind us that this could have been you. How are you using your time? This could have been you, destroyed with no time left to straighten out your life and do what's important. Then, after mentioning those current events, the news headlines of his day, the Lord Jesus goes and tells a parable. He makes a story about a fig tree. And here we come to our second point. The parable of the fig tree shows us God's patience. So the patience of God runs in the parable too. The Lord Jesus begins with these words in verse 6. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. Maybe there's a farmer in here, in the congregation, that would have noticed this. A fig tree planted in a vineyard. Small detail, but the crowd would have picked up on this. A fig tree is a large tree in comparison to a vine in a vineyard. A fig tree had been planted by a farmer in a vineyard. Kind of odd. Where you normally have these lower hanging vines, grapevines, that can come about waist high or as tall as a person maybe. Right from the start, you can tell that there is this special tree. A huge tree that takes up considerable amount of space in a vineyard. Takes up a considerable amount of soil, and it casts a lot of shade, so it takes the place of many vines. It takes the place of a lot of potential grape. And the gardener is doing this for a reason. He's making an investment. He's making an investment by planting a vineyard in this a fig tree in this prime part of his vineyard. And the whole time that this fig tree is growing and becoming mature, it takes time for it to mature and become of age where it can actually bear fruit. The whole time, it's taking up soil, it's taking up space where the farmer could be making money with grapes. Instead, he's hoping to broaden out and make a little money with figs. Diversify. The farmer hopes this is going to be worth it. And obviously, once the tree has matured, the fig tree has matured, become old enough to produce figs, the man would go there and look at it. And he would look closely because figs are hard to notice from a distance. And he went there and he found none. Something's wrong here. So that man talked to his worker about that fig tree. And he says to him, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" This makes sense. Brothers and sisters, we have to agree with this. For 3 years, he has come looking for figs when that tree should have been producing figs. And it's clear that this tree was not just having a bad season or a bad year. This was a lousy fig tree. Something was wrong with this tree. And then there's this surprising answer. The man who worked the ground, who worked in the vineyard, he decided to try a few more things. Almost desperate now because of all the care and the attention he has shown over the years, ever since that was a smaller fig tree. He's not going to give up so quickly. "Sir," he suggests, he's got something in his bag of tricks. He'll try a few more things. "Sir, leave it alone for one more season, another year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit, well, that's good. But after that, you can cut it down." So there, brothers and sisters, you've heard the parable. It's not very complicated. Because every farmer in the crowd who was listening to the Lord Jesus tell this parable, they would have been thinking, "Now, why even waste another year on this tree? Why waste another year on this useless fig tree? Hey, they've given them 3 years. They've given this tree 3 years and there was nothing. Three strikes and you're out," they would say. That's just common sense. So this tree was living on borrowed time. Do you see what the crowd sees? It's possible. It is possible that a farmer would let a tree live longer than it deserved to live. Let me say that again. It's possible that a tree was living longer than it deserved to live. And now let's go back to Christ's main point. How do you make sense of the news? Do you understand the times that you're living in? Because you'd be wrong if you saw death and war and natural disaster as proof of God being fed up with those people. You'd be wrong if you concluded that God wasn't actually fed up with you. That's what the crowd was being shown in this parable. Maybe God had had enough of them, but for some miraculous reason was giving them extra time. The Lord was being patient. They had been given extra time. But that time was short. The Lord Jesus was saying that that time was short and it has to be used well. It was short. And we get that in our third point, that we notice that their time ran out in 70 AD. I'm now at my third point. In the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah chapter 5, there is a parable. Let's look that up a moment. In Isaiah chapter 5, there's a parable. This time it's about a vine. Isaiah chapter 5. There have been other times in the Old Testament that the Lord has had patience for his people run out. And you could think of the time of the disaster, the flood of Noah's time. Or you could think of how the Israelites were wandering in the desert for 40 years because his patience had run out. But here we have an example in Isaiah 5. Let me read with you Isaiah 5. Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard than I have not done for it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug up, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Brothers and sisters, here's an example where God's patience had run out with his people, his chosen people. He compared to the choicest of vines. It was supposed to produce grapes. What more could God have done for that vine? Her time was up. That's the message, that Israel was taken into exile. God destroyed his useless, fruitless vineyard. Their time was up. That was in the Old Testament. So 600 years later, when the Lord Jesus tells his people about this fig tree, something's ringing bells in their minds. Yeah. A fig tree stands for God's people. This time it's not the choicest of vines in a vineyard. This is a fig tree in a vineyard. And so that crowd that was listening to the Lord Jesus is compared to a fig tree. Jesus was saying to that crowd, you will be cut down like a tree if you don't repent and bear fruit. You're living on borrowed time. The gardener is being especially patient with you. Your time should really be up. The Lord Jesus there was speaking to the crowds, looking for fruit on his fig tree. He was looking for the evidence of faith. He's looking for repentance, proof that people believe his words that he speaks. There's that word repentance that sums it up. In this chapter 13 of Luke, has used that word repent. Every time the gospel is preached in the New Testament, that message starts with some word about repent. That's what Christ is looking for. Remember John the Baptist. Just as one example, John the Baptist began his ministry. Repent, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, he said. It's the same language here about the vineyard. Produce fruit that shows evidence of good health. We can read in Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist calling people to repent. He wasn't even going into depth explaining what he means. Because for the most part, people know what repentance means. The people knew it meant turning their hearts to the Lord, loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. We read the Ten Commandments, and it had that ring to it. Here is what repentance looks like. Here's what turning to the Lord with your heart, soul, and mind looks like. Most people who hear someone say repent already know in some way what this is about. There's little need to explain. The Lord has also given us a conscience so that in our own minds we are reminded of what's right and what's wrong. And yet once in a while you'll have repentance explained a little more clearly. You'll have, for example, the tax collectors asking John the Baptist, what should we do? They've just heard him say, repent. And the tax collectors are saying, what should we do? Well, don't collect more than you're required to. And the soldiers, they're asking, what should we do? Don't extort money and don't accuse falsely. Be content with your pay. And most of it was obvious. They knew what to do. And the hard part is always doing what you know is right. In fact, history shows that many people, most of God's people, the Jews, refused to repent. They refused it. In spite of all the extra attention, and if you were to compare it in a parable, all the extra attention, like a gardener putting in his full last-ditch attempt to get the tree to produce fruit, most people refuse to repent. Even though the Lord Jesus ate and drank with those crowds, with those people, and performed signs and miracles for them, most refused to repent. God's own people, the Jews, put Jesus Christ to death. And reading the book of Acts, they kept it up. More and more calls to repent and believe were proving fruitless. So eventually you'll hear these words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 13 to those same Jews, the fig tree that God had planted. We had to speak the word of God to you first, but since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. And only a few years later, in 70 AD, in that year, the Romans completely destroyed the city of Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus had warned them that this moment was coming. He had warned them, you can read in Matthew 24, let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down and get anything out of his house. Let no one in the field go back and get his cloak. His point was, don't hang around Jerusalem. Don't hang around Jerusalem when the enemies are camped against it. The Lord is not going to defend his fruitless vineyard. Remember the time you're in. Discern the times. The Lord's not going to defend his fruitless fig tree. In the year 70 AD, the Romans had had enough of their Jewish rebellion. So they camped against Jerusalem. They laid siege works. They built up a ramp that went up to the wall of the city. And the Romans made sure that no food got into the city and that the people starved. You can easily read about this in the history books. In 70 AD, that's around 40 years after the Lord Jesus would have spoken this parable of the fig tree, the Lord showed to everyone that his patience with his people had run out. God cut down that fig tree. It had wasted enough of the soil for so long, for too long. All he was looking for was some fruit, some natural response for his saving work. A fruit in keeping with repentance. He wanted to see evidence that they believed his word. But there was none. The point, brothers and sisters, this third point is that God has been patient over and over with different people at different times in history. He has said, repent. He said, repent to the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. And so for 40 years, with no fruit, he cut them down in the wilderness. He had said, repent in the time of Isaiah. We read about that in Isaiah 5. But since they didn't, he cut them down, hauling them off into exile. He had said, repent when Jesus was among them, walking among them in their streets even. But since they didn't, he cut them down with the Roman army. Throughout all of this, we hear that God is patient. God is caring and tender and compassionate, like a gardener who wants to give another year. Like a gardener who wants to give another year to a worthless, fruitless fig tree. That's love. That's patience. But he's not patient for the sake of being patient. He's not patient for nothing. He's patient. You can read this in 2 Peter 3. He's patient. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. See, that's how the Apostle Peter applied the message to the New Testament believers. The Lord's patience might run out. It might run out in our lifetime. So this is our fourth point. The Lord's patience may run out in 2014. There is something short, something open-ended about this parable. Not sure if you noticed that. This man works in the garden, and there's the man who owns the garden. The man who works in the garden has asked, he's suggested that he would put in another year's effort into this barren fig tree. And now you don't get an answer. Did you notice that? You don't hear what the owner says. Does the owner agree with it? He could make the decision. And the Lord Jesus doesn't give the answer. He leaves the story open-ended. And it's just a story. He made it up on the spot. And he decided to leave it with a question mark. How much time do I have? Did I get extra time? And this is the question he leaves with the New Testament church too. How much time do you have? There's urgency to this. So the New Testament church, if you were reading some of the books of the New Testament, if I were to pick one, the book of Revelation, you would find it. Seven letters to the seven churches, meant for every church in the New Testament period, us included. Five out of seven churches have the word repent in the subject line of the letter. Repent. And there are specific things. False teaching. Another false teaching. lukewarm love. There's rich in pride. There's all these different errors that these churches are giving into. Repent, the Lord says to the New Testament church. You don't know how much time you have. 5 out of 7 churches are told to repent. So this command counts for us. Here at the Providence Reformed Church, we don't know how much time we have, do we? So repent. And you know what the word repent means. It means turning from the false teachings. It means not counting riches by money or possessions. It means loving the Lord with passion, with your heart, soul, and mind in it, and not that lukewarm kind of love that you read about in the book of Revelation. Does the Lord call it love when we're not hospitable, not inviting toward visitors, not inviting toward each other? Does the Lord call it love if we are so afraid of what others think of us? Does the Lord call it love when we don't dare to admonish someone? Does the Lord call it love when we avoid opportunities to talk directly to our neighbors about our Savior? It's evangelism. The Lord Jesus was saying, put my words into action. Hearing me is not enough. Repentance is putting my words into action. And you need to stop talking yourself out of doing what you know is right. Stop reasoning things out. Stop justifying yourselves. You know what's right. Jesus says, put my words into actions. Show the fruit. This is the point. Almost all of us do know what God wants. That's the easier part of the Scriptures. Knowing. And you can run through the commandments like we did this morning. Commandments about authority and murder and adultery and stealing and lying and coveting. Something's got to ring a bell in your life. And knowing what to repent from is not the hardest part of for most of us. If it becomes difficult, anyone who knows you would volunteer something about you that you could use improvement in. Knowing what is not the hardest part. The hard work of repentance is plucking out your eye that causes you to sin. The hard work of repentance is cutting off the hand that causes you to sin. The hard work is counting it better, as Christ says it. Counting it better for us to enter the kingdom of God without one eye or without a leg, rather than being in perfect shape and perishing in hell forever. If anyone would come after me, Christ says, he must deny himself. You hear that? That means saying no to sinful desires. That means saying no to life itself at times. That people are facing persecution. They have to say no to life itself. Deny yourself, that means, okay, you admit that those desires are there. They truly are there. But you say no to them. You cripple and you maim them, those evil desires. You take the eyes out of the evil desires. Because you don't know how much time you have left. Brothers and sisters, we are already living on borrowed time. The Lord Jesus has left his parable open-ended. Do we get another year? Do we get another month? A week? Day? Hour? We don't know. But we do know how much the Lord wants to see fruit. All kinds of fruit. We do know how much he wants to see it. So he's told us about the angels in heaven. Think for a moment. Let's say, here in church, while the piano's warming up for the next song, let's say you humble your heart before the Lord. And let's say, while you're filing out of here, you make a commitment to turn from sin. And let's say, before you even make it out of the parking lot this morning, you make definite plans to have someone hold you accountable. Immediately, there is rejoicing in heaven. Do you remember that? The Lord Jesus speaks about the angels. In the presence of God, the angels are rejoicing over one sinner who repents. Just one sinner repenting brings the angels much joy, because this is exactly why the Lord has given extra time. Exactly why. That's why he has given the next hour, or week, or month, or year. God adds extra time so that you would go from one fruit of repentance to multiple fruit, all sorts of fruit. And you call this the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember those fruit of the Holy Spirit? That we would be like a fig tree bearing not just one kind that we're good at naturally, but the kind that God works in us in every area of our life. Love, joy, and peace, and patience, and gentleness, kindness, self-control. This is why he adds time, so that we would be his people bearing much fruit for his glory. The Lord gives us extra time because he is patient with us. That's what the news tells us. He is patient with us. But this is not an ordinary kind of patience. You know, there are different kinds of patience. You can just stand back and arms folded and you say, I'll wait this one out. That's not the kind of patience that the Lord has. That's not how the Lord is using this time that he's given each of us. It's not how he's using the time he has given his whole church here. It's a patience like that farmer, the one who's working in the vineyard. Remember his patience? Yeah, he would argue, he would ask for another year, but it wasn't just a year to stand back, was it? It was a year where the Lord is active. It's a year where, in the parable, the farmer is active. He's talking about digging around the tree. He's fertilizing it. He's doing everything he can that this tree would bear fruit. And so, think about the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just any kind of patience. This is the patience of the Lord, where he has his word come to you week after week. And you read it around the table. You read it from day to day. And the Lord gives his Holy Spirit to work in each of you. That's the kind of patience he has. It's not a patience where he's standing back and just twiddling his thumbs, waiting. The Lord is patient, giving his Holy Spirit to you. He's working that fruit in you. The point, brothers and sisters, is that God's patience may run out in the year 2014. Let's not take this patience for granted. And if you ever have the news on and you're hearing of disasters and ruin and war and disease, or let's say you just drive by the scene of an accident and you see a car that's very damaged, you say, phew, right? Something goes through your mind, phew. But don't say that, because those people had it coming. They were reckless, they were unbelieving, or they were sinners, worse sinners. Don't say that. Say, phew. Because the Lord has given you more moments to live for His glory. More time. You have more time to live for His glory. And that's His purpose. That we would bear much fruit. Amen.